I mean, we as human beings, we sometimes have a strange idea that we can know things. But just or to have an intuitive knowledge of something sometimes, but it doesn't work like that. Like our brother was sharing today, and I think the true knowledge comes by revelation, isn't it? And it's always like that. So and until something is brought to your attention, you will not be able to be aware of that. So that is part of humbling that God has put us, a process that God has put us through that. And for us as Christians, that is why we trust Jesus so much, is because he is the one who has the power to reveal things. Even God even revealed himself to us through Jesus, really accurately. Even though we have the natural revelations, all the theologians would call non-salvific revelation or grace. So it's not the revelation that leads us to intimate relationship with God. We do have a lot of people who are there. We may believe that the world has been created by God, and yet they do not have any relationship with God, and they do not love him. On the other hand, we who have come to this realization, it is the true realization of who God is and who we are, is only through Jesus Christ. And even as we walk with Christ, Christ has to teach us how to walk with him, isn't it? Even the thing that he didn't say to us, even through his Holy Spirit, is enabling us as we wrestle through things of life at time. But so that is why we trust to pray. We pray over and over things and read his words and consult those things. So these are the means of grace that are given to us. And I'm saying this because Solomon, some people think like Solomon really was a wise man. That is why he asked wisdom. But that is not true, isn't it? Wisdom can only be asked by those who have no wisdom, isn't it? If he had wisdom, why would he ask for wisdom? See? But because he was not wise in himself. And that is one thing. And secondly, the wisdom also was not granted to him because of his own righteousness and because he was good. No, again, it was not like that. Again. And all these things are happening against the background of the kingship, the issue of kingship. And God actually didn't like the idea from the very beginning, but he anticipated this, I would say. And I don't have time to take you back to where I found it out. Even before they asked for a king, God anticipated this. You see, he knew that. Yeah, that will happen. You see? And he warned them, if you are ever going to do this, how would he know? He is the all-knowing God. So Solomon here is going to ask for wisdom. And so I'd like to establish the fact that he didn't have wisdom in the first place. And so here, as he's succeeding his father, the man he described to have walked with God, his father, he said that he walked with God. You have made your servant king in place of my father David. You see, so because he said, yeah, my father David, he was a faithful, he was faithful to you, a righteous and upright in heart. You have continued this great kindness to him and have given him a son to sit. Well, King David, he was faithful, truly, but in a sense that he was recognizing his sins and his need. You see, but we know for sure that he committed terrible sins against God. But God has made covenant with him. And this is a very encouraging thing with us, too. Even Jesus Christ died for our sins and we have been made righteous. I can assure you that it is by his grace that we walk with him, and then we are only to rely on him as well. Well, Solomon here, he started his kingship, and actually I went ahead of myself. But the thing he did here, he started really his kingship by getting into an alliance with Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. What an interesting start with. Well, we are not told also, we maybe this is a record of events which have taken place long time ago, and then they are put in this way, and I'm not inclined to say that the order is not right, but we don't have to go into that. But what we can see for sure is that this man, in verse 1, Solomon made an alliance with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and married his daughter. And he brought her to the city of David until he finished building his palace and the temple of the Lord and the wall around Jerusalem. So this man now is making alliance with a pagan king. And because this is not, it doesn't look like a good start. And so Pharaoh is the title of each successive Egyptian monarch, ancient kings. And actually, we read in the history, and even through the time when Isaiah was prophesying, there were even kings down from Nubian, from Sudan. And in 2007, I was reading from the National Geography in Australia here, this pharaoh whose name was Tyre, that was during the time when Isaiah, he was from the Nubian Upper Egypt, from Sudan, a Nubian guy. And so he was a pharaoh too. So pharaohs were kings, strong kings who were pagans, who were not God-fearing people. And here this man, Solomon, making alliance with him. And to make alliance with someone like this, and like in those days, mean that you are now making alliance with powerful people. And this is how they were making political alliance, you see. And so to make an alliance with a powerful king, because the pharaohs were powerful, they were subduing all the kings around them. It was later on when there was a rise in the other kingdoms, like the Babylonians and the Assyrians. Well, this man, he started off with this. So he was like trying to be very strategic. Of course, it's looking like he's having his own ways, version of how to really govern well. You see, so he's like very pragmatic and strategic, and was trying to do that. Well, he was, I don't know whether he was around that, he was aware that that could be a trap for him, and actually is going to be a trap even for many kings. And we don't have only this, his example. We have Jehoshaphat, who made an alliance with Ahab. And so alliance with really those who do not fear the Lord is something really terrible in our walk with God. And so, and it's very challenging to all of us in our days, really. I know myself, I do have a lot of friends from Muslim community and non-Muslim, but mainly Muslims from Sudan and then later on and from Saudi Arabia and even in Dubai and so forth. But the one I have just known, not from Sudan, because those people from Sudan, I have known them for so long. At times it comes where I needed to wish them well during their Eids and their really festivals. I find it a challenge, you see, to do that. And also, like, really you can, you want to take care of them and to really look after their own interests. But sometimes it's very difficult to see where you are crossing lines, where you are just like really maybe investing in those who are not acknowledging Jesus. So King Solomon made this alliance with Pharaoh, and it's not a good thing. So he placed himself in a dangerous position. And I think that will have also some effect in the future. So the Bible really warns against kingship or kings marrying really from other nations. So if I look quickly at Deuteronomy 17:16, it says this. When you enter the land of the Lord your God, or when you enter the land the Lord your God is giving you, and have taken possessions of it and settled in it, and you say, let us set a king over us like all the nations around us, be sure to appoint over you the king the Lord your God chooses. See, God anticipated this. That is Deuteronomy, and the people will ask for a king later on. And yet they were told, let the Lord choose it for you, even though you are going to have it. He must be from among your own brothers. Do not place a foreigner over you, one who is not a brother Israelite. The king, moreover, must not acquire great numbers of horses for himself or make the people return to Egypt to get more of them. For the Lord has told you, you are not to go back that way again. He must not take many wives, or his heart will be led astray. He must not accumulate large amounts of silver and gold. And yet that will be the very thing that King Solomon will acquire. And so now the question is that, and why God is going to answer him and give him wisdom. So if we go back to the history, and we see this man, after he has really done this, and then the temple was not built, and people were still offering in high places, and those places were used in the past by nations around, and so they have their own idols and images there, and yet the people of God, they needed to go also to find a place, a lofty place, a higher place where they can offer. Well, they go there, and then we are told that Solomon himself, he showed love for God. So Solomon showed his love for the Lord by walking according to the status of his father David. So he followed those things, except the people were still offering there. So the king went and offered. So he was worshiping, actually. He was from the Israelites, and he is following his father. It's part of the covenant. And now at Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream, and God said, ask for whatever you want me to give you. And now what is in God's heart is not only for David. God is a God of covenant. He wants to look after his own people. He wants to make sure that his people are kept and are governed. You see, his people are encouraged to walk in his path. And so that is why the Lord God took this initiative. He was not only looking to Solomon, but also is a God who is a redeeming God. He is looking after his own people. And so even as they are frail and they fall short of his glory, they are sinners and fallen creatures, and yet God's care. And that is very encouraging. Because sometimes we think we receive God's blessing on the basis of our own righteousness, on what we have done in any way, but we see even back then, even David was not perfect, and yet God has entered into a covenant with David, and he was looking to the time when his son will come and restore the redeemed and the chosen one. And you and I today, we are part of this wonderful work of God. And so the history begins there. That is why I said earlier, before I said the history of kings, in my understanding, and what I perceive is a history of grace, from grace to grace. Because we deal with frail people, with fallen people. And yet God in his mercy is able to bestow to them something amazing beyond their even imagination, beyond their expectations. Because this is what is happening. He was asked to ask what I should give you. So the Lord asked him, so ask for whatever you want me to give you. You see, ask, and that is why we are all encouraged to ask. If anyone asks, like wisdom, let him ask. That is James chapter 1. Is that verse 3, isn't it? Yeah, we ask. God is a generous God, is a gracious God. He will not treat us according to our own sins and our own failure and even our own understanding. He's God who invites us by his mercy and grace and his Holy Spirit, inviting us to ask big things, you see? And then big things that might be, in our understanding, big, but he got even bigger thing to give. That is what he's surprising Solomon with now, isn't it? He said, well, Solomon said, and he acknowledged his lack of wisdom, You have shown great kindness to your servant. He's even acknowledging that God is dealing with his father like this out of God's kindness. His father, of course, he had trouble. Yeah, but he said to your servant, my father David, because he was faithful, as I said earlier. Now, O Lord, my God, you have made your servant, verse 7, your servant king in place of my father David, but I am only a little child and do not know how to carry out my duties. Whenever God calls, in his own grace also, he will make you feel and know your limitations. And that is what happened really also with Jeremiah. Every true call of God. So if you are a calling that does not challenge you, that is not from God. God's calling always, they challenge us so that he can work through us and bring the best out of us, even as frail as we are. That is the nature of God. If you feel you are confident enough to be used by God, he can't use you. We have seen patterns in the word of God. Even with Gideon, he was trembling. And they came with big armies. He said, well, look, don't rely on big armies. They will be defeated too. You see, but a small army in the Lord's hands is powerful. So here the Lord himself allowing this man to feel his need. You know, I'm a lad. I don't understand. Please help me. Help me. I'm just so little. I'm not wise. Have you ever felt like someone who is unwise and who is not fit to do even the great things that you are called to do? You see, it's challenging, isn't it? You see, when I was reading and studying, doing schooling, I was doing all my schooling in Arabic. You see, and English was never taught properly. Was not taught English properly. So even when I was going through theological college, I was asked to do IELTS. So the first attempt, I couldn't really do very well. So 5.5, took it to the theological college. So they said, it's not good. So then I went again and I studied, went back again, made another attempt. They were looking for 6.5. You see, and I got 6. I went there and I showed them, they said, and I was sitting against John Wilson, and the man who came and preached at my ordination. He was the clerk. He just retired. He was the academic dean. He was a few times moderator of our church here in Victoria. And also even he just finished his term or before as the moderator general of Presbyterian Church of Australia. I was sitting against him like that, and I presented him with my IELTS results. He looked at me and he said, it's not good enough. And I looked him in the eye, I eyeballed him, and I said, the Lord will make a way. And he opened his eyes like that. Okay. And the Lord has made a way, you see. And he ended up 18 years later preaching at my ordination, being really given this privilege to bring the word of God. And I'm still learning. It's just like, but if it's Arabic, I could say poetry anyway. So in many ways, we are limited so that the glory will not lie with us, but the glory will lie with God. And so if we are called, if you feel confident in whatever you do, so please give room to God and he will surprise you. So we see this and the Lord is going to move and to help him. Your servant is here among the people you have chosen. A great people, too numerous to count on or number. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong, for who is able to govern this great people of yours? And now we see the reason why God is going to answer. Now the Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this. You see, God was pleased because he put emphasis on the people of God, not on himself. He needed a discerning heart so that the covenant may stand. And so maybe there is something for us in this. As God's people, let us always think about what God wants to do for his own people. And you only an instrument. What a privilege to be an instrument of salvation, you see, around us. That is the heart of God. That is what he wants of all his own people. And that is why you see the teaching in the New Testament encourages us always to put others first. And also not to have a low self-esteem about yourself, because you are an instrument in his hand. that God can use to bring blessings to others. And of course, if you are the instruments of blessings, how much blessings are you going to receive? If you are the container of the glory that is to be revealed, how privileged you are. And that is what really, that is why we see sometimes people really, they discern and they observe the fact that there is grace and there is a privilege in being called to a position of authority. And unfortunately, some people abuse even their position of authority, even teachers themselves. When I was growing up, there were teachers who were just targeting students just for the sake of targeting them. You would just really sideline or something like that a student and you hate them. Maybe they are clever, maybe they come from rich family, or maybe they are really just for some reasons. I'm glad as a Christian I don't have to have that experience, isn't it? You see? And that is the grace of God. Yeah, to be born of God and so forth. Well, Solomon asked this, and God said to him, since you have asked for this and not for long life or wealth for yourself, nor have asked for the death of your enemies, but for discerning and administering justice, I will do what you have asked, and I will give you a wise and a discerning heart, so that there will never have been anyone like you, nor will there be more. I will give you what you have not asked, for both riches and honor, so that in your lifetime you will have no equal among kings. You see, that is just God. Tonight, I just want to leave this one question for you. Ask for wisdom. Ask. If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask. And me included. Because we have seen that God is impartial, is God of all grace, and he wants us really to receive from him. He wants us to know that he is God. And that he can bless us, not on the basis of our own righteousness, but on the basis of his love and kindness. And we have seen this with Solomon. Even though Solomon is a fallen creature like us, and yet God has allowed him to experience this. And also, one thing we need to know, and I think we brought this out, I don't know when was that, like the fallen nature. So we are called by God and we are redeemed. And like these people in the Old Testament, they have the covenant with God. And yet they were struggling. And so the same thing also. Even if we struggle in the New Testament, we have the Lord. We have an advocate. We have Jesus Christ. And God is God. And he will finish his work. The covenant he made with his own people, he fulfills it. So he was visiting them again and again, sending prophets. Because he's a God who was delighted to have a people for himself. And so we see this with Solomon. And Solomon now is going to really govern, and he will display his wisdom. We will see next week how he will judge. You see, it's true. So this is not a theory. It's a theory, is an objective truth that really can be experienced in human life. You see, these are not histories per se, but they are true histories with theological significance, so that we who are God's people in our day and age can also learn from these stories and see the fact that God is the ultimate giver of everything good, and not on the basis of our righteousness or our own righteousness or anything, but because he is God who has a plan. And his plans are so good, not only for us, but for every person who is to be saved, even people who are in this world. So let us continue to trust our God and to know that he is our God and he loves us. And so I encourage you to pray. So one of the challenges I have been challenging myself with in the last few days is how big I can pray. See? What is the prayer that I haven't prayed as yet? You see, Solomon really, he knocked it. He knew what he needed. And so I pray also you know what you need. And also to have the faith that when we ask, we should not hesitate to trust and to be double-minded, for we get nothing. But this man, he was just like really serious about it. And like many other people who have come to God and persistence, we have seen this with Hannah, who prayed. You see, the woman who was coming to the unjust judge, and we are taught to do that. So to come to God, whatever a prayer need in your front, please pray about it. And let us take Solomon as an example. He was not very good in himself. You see, he started off even clearly not well. Yeah, let us stop there.